Morning. I'd like to add my welcome to you all. It's great to have you with us wherever you are, online, connecting. There's a few people here with us this morning, but it's great wherever you are, even if you're watching later. We really pray that God speaks to you and touches your heart. As Andrew said, we're in a series called Built to Last. It's actually a series of series. We start the first series, we talked about the foundation of the love of God, that God loves us so much. And in this series, we're talking about our response. This is the ground up, we call this series. It's our response to how we love God back. And the aim of this is to build into your life strong foundations, a strong structure that we can stand firm in whatever situation. So this second series, which is about loving God back, this is our last one in the series that we've added in extra, actually. There's a key verse to this series, which is that the greatest commandment to us is that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And this is the basis of this series. It's about how we love God back. All of this flows from God loving us. That's the basis of it. So I've got a title for this series. It took me a while to think of this title. There were so many things this is a big subject, but I've called this preach today, Remember, Jesus is coming back. Amen. Jesus is coming back. I could have called it living with a long-term view, living with an eternal perspective, how the future impacts how we live today. But as you read the New Testament, you see that the church there seems that they had this live with this expectation that Jesus was imminently returning. And I don't think we have that same sense now. Maybe because 2,000 years later, he's still not come back. But we can't lose this sense that should impact our lives, that one day Jesus is coming back. Hooray! Jesus is coming back. And there is two things that will happen when he comes back. And I want to look at those two things and then see how they impact our lives. And these two things are foundational. I say they're foundational because the Bible says in that verse that flashed up there, the Bible says that they are foundational teachings. So Hebrews 6, verse 2 and 3 says, talks about the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead. So this is what I want to talk about first, is resurrection of the dead. When Jesus comes back, there will be a resurrection of the dead. And I'm sure we say array to that. Yeah, well, a few arrays around the room, and I hope many more where you're watching this. And I want to very briefly look at this fact, because I want to focus on how it affects our lives. So I'm going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which says this: Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is amazing truth, that one day Jesus will come back and we will be with him forever. This is for those that have put their trust in Jesus, that have put their faith in Jesus. And that's offered to everybody. This is our hope of the future. That, you know, that Paul wrote this as though he was going to be still alive, expected to be still alive, and the dead would raise. Of course, he's died now, as 2,000 years have passed. And we don't know whether Jesus will come back tomorrow. another 1,000 years, but we know he's going to come back. And we're going to meet him face to face. We'll be caught in the air. That is so encouraging. The dead will be raised. And Jesus said in his teaching, we should live ready for that. We should live as though he's coming back today and be ready for that. We should not live as though it's never going to happen or it's a long way in the future. We should live with that expectation. I want to talk a bit later in a while how that affects our hope. Andrew talked about hope, that Jesus is the hope. Ultimately, our hope, a big foundation of our hope, is that there will be a resurrection of the dead, not just of Jesus, but the dead who have died in him. Okay, that's the first thing that will happen when Jesus comes back. So there will be a resurrection of the dead. And I'm going to read what the second thing happens. So the same verse in Hebrews, just going to continue a bit more. So Hebrews talks of the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Now, I think when we say resurrection from the dead, we go, hooray. But when we say eternal judgment, we think, oh, I'm not so sure about that. Let's think about this differently. If you think of the word injustice, that's a bad thing, yeah? If you think of the word justice, that's good. We want to see justice. When Jesus comes and there's an eternal judgment, it means that justice has come. So I want to talk about briefly the facts, and then I want to look more at how that affects our lives. In many churches, they declare these statements of faith that are called creeds. And one of those creeds is the Apostles' Creed. And in that, it has many statements, a few statements about Jesus. On one of those, it says, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Now, this statement, when we talk about judgment, is not meant to cause fear for us as Christians, but I think it's meant to make us live and think soberly with the view that that judgment is coming. So, in John 5, it says this about judgment. Jesus' words, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. And John 3:18 says, whoever believes in him is not condemned. He's talking about himself. He's talking about Jesus. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. There's a judgment that is based on whether or not we accept Jesus. And God's heart is for all of us to accept Jesus. His heart is, don't reject Jesus. This is the hope for us for the future. That Jesus doesn't want anyone to perish. And he offers eternal life. And that's why, as Andrew said, let's get this message out. But there's a judgment is based on whether we receive or don't receive Jesus. And if we receive Jesus, there's a judgment that we don't pass through. We have passed to life. We've passed from death to life. And we've got to understand that when Jesus comes, our only hope is in him. Our only hope is in him for salvation. For Passover to life, he is the only way. That's one part of the judgment. It's also a judgment for all of us based on what we do and what we say. So 2 Corinthians says this, 5 verse 10 says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due to us for the things we have done while in the body, whether good or bad. So we will be judged for the good or bad we've done, which again should point us to put our hope in Christ. You know, that I can't emphasize this enough, that we are saved. We get to be with God forever, not because of the good we've done, but because that we put our hope in the good that Jesus did on the cross. Amen? It also says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12 to 15, a bit more about this other judgment, which is about rewards. So it says, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what he has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though as one escaping through the flames. So what there's a judgment I'm saying is that where there was rewards for doing good, for building well, and there is loss if we don't do good. But ultimately our salvation depends on Jesus Christ, but the rewards we can gain. So that is a massive subject in itself, and there might be lots of questions you're asking right now, but I want us to actually focus on what does that mean for the way we live now? The fact that one day, which could be way in the future, Jesus is going to come back and there'll be a resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. What does that mean for the way we live? So I want us to understand three things, and I want to say two things how it should affect the way we live. So the first thing we need to understand is God works in the long term. Ultimately, eternity. He's weaving a story over long term, and we're part of that story. And even in our lives, he works in the long term. So the world tells us to live for the moment, to live in the moment. And I'm not saying we shouldn't enjoy the moment. God has given us everything for us to enjoy. But we should also look to the long haul, ultimately eternity. In the context of eternity, our life is short. So you'd say, if there is no resurrection from the dead, just live it. Live every moment. But if there is resurrection from the dead and eternal life, we need to have a view for that. So look at the long, firstly, think of the long term in your life. In the Bible, there's stories of people like Joseph. Joseph, we've just been reading as a family, Joseph had these promises. As a young man, he had these promises. And soon after that, he got sold as a slave, which wasn't part of the promise. And soon after that, he got put into prison for a crime he didn't commit, which wasn't part of the promise. And he was in this terrible situation for 17 years. And then God started to fulfill the promise. What I'm trying to say is that God works for a long period in his life. And he could have in any time during that thought, this promise isn't true. What's the point of me following God? Because I'm in jail, I've been wrongly accused, life is not going well. But he had a long-term view and believed that God would be faithful to his promise. And God brought justice to Joseph in the end. Justice came. The judgment of God came in his lifetime that saw him vindicated. There's also a guy called Abraham who had some promises. One of the promises was that he'd have a son. And he was 100 years old when he had his son finally. And he waited many, many years. I don't know how long, I can't remember. It was a long time. But he had to believe that God was going to be faithful in the long term. But it also says that Abraham had promises that he never received in his lifetime. The Bible says this, that he lived like a stranger in a foreign land. He lived in tents. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder he was God. He was looking forward to the city that God would build, that he never saw in his lifetime. But he believed that God was a God of eternity. He believed that he would live again after his death. He knew that. Let me tell you, what is the city whose architect and builder is God? The Bible tells us what God is building. Jesus said, I will build my church. I don't know what Abraham understood of the church, but he was looking forward to a people that were saved and redeemed, which is the church. He was looking forward to what Jesus would bring with us. That is amazing that all those thousands of years later, he was looking that God will fulfill his future, his promise to him way beyond his death. It says he was looking for a better country, a heavenly one. He didn't put all his hope in what God would give him just in this life. He received many promises in his own life, but he also received in his heart that which he didn't receive in his lifetime. He lived for now and he looked to eternity. And that is how we're supposed to live. It says in the New Testament that we should, the teaching in the Old Testament teaches that we should live right now. It's about how we live now. But it says, set your minds on things above where Christ is. We should have our feet on the ground and our heads in heaven. Our heart's got to be there. Our mind and our heart's there. He says that we are citizens of heaven. That we will be in heaven one day. We should live now with the perspective that we belong in a different place. But we're going to live in the values of that place. So God works in the very, very long term. Okay? Secondly, the resurrection from the dead and eternal judgment shows us there is hope in the face of suffering and death. In this country, we can really put a lot of hope in the fact we have good medical care and the vaccine is rolling out. That's not really justice, because in many countries, people will die just because of the country they're born in. But the hope is that one day there'll be a resurrection from the dead. So in that passage that I read in Thessalonians, it says, we do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have hope. Of course we grieve when we lose people, when people are no longer with us. We grieve for ourselves. But, you know, in a Christian funeral, we say this, that this is not the end. We will see them again. We will see our loved ones. And, maybe in this day, we won't get healed when we pray. But we know that one day we will have a new body. A body that is perfect. A body where there is no sickness. No aging. No corruption. One day we'll have that. But now we live in this time where we see people healed. But not everybody's healed. But ultimately we need to have this hope that one day there'll be a resurrection. And we've got to live with a sense of resurrection. Not only of the resurrection of Jesus that gives us the Holy Spirit now, but one day, whether we die tomorrow or die at 120, which is my plan, we will be with Jesus forever. He will come again and take us with him. Amen? There's hope. There's hope, the hope also is a reward and blessing for suffering we suffer in Jesus' name. Jesus said this, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. We will be rewarded for suffering properly, I say properly, suffering in the right way for Jesus. And some of that reward we may get in this world, we may get in this lifetime, but not everything is for this lifetime. 1 Peter 3 says this, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. God wants us to inherit a blessing, therefore repay evil with blessing. And there's a reward. We may get this reward in this life. We may not. We don't know. But we trust God. Ultimately, we've got to trust God. So three things I said. God works in the long term. Secondly, there is hope in the face of suffering and death. And thirdly, justice will ultimately prevail. Justice will be done. The judging of the living dead means God will come and make justice happen. So what does that mean? It means firstly, it matters how we live. We've said right through that there is unconditional love from God to us. There is forgiveness for anything we may do. There is grace, no matter what we've done. We might think, and people used to think in the New Testament time, it doesn't matter how I live. God is just going to forgive. No, it matters how we live now. Because there will be a time where we give a recount for everything. And we will be judged on how we lived. Things like how we treated the poor and needy will bring a reward. Jesus said, you know, when you did this to any of my children, you did this to me. And God will remember that in the day of judgment. Don't forget, ultimately, we're not going to get into heaven and be with God forever because of our own goodness. It is because of the goodness of God. But the other consequences of justice is good will be rewarded. Good will be rewarded. I don't know what those rewards are, but it talks in the Bible about rewards. And it's okay as Christians to be motivated for those rewards. I think we think perhaps as Christians we should do these things just out of the goodness of our heart. But God says, no, be motivated by the reward. There is a reward coming for those that do good. The third thing that means when I said justice will prevail, and thirdly, evil will not go unpunished. You know, there's been many dictators, terrible dictators in recent history and throughout history. And it just seems that they go unpunished. Read Psalm 73 for yourself. There's a psalm about a guy who's saying, the evil prosper. And you don't seem to know. But then he comes saying, no, I see that there comes a day where God will mete out justice. And so it means that we don't get away with sin. We don't get away with sin. And that's good. When we talk about justice, we think it's great that murderers and child abusers and those that are really bad get their just deserts. That they're found out, they're discovered, they have to pay. We're not so sure when justice comes to us. But justice is a good thing. That God is vindicated. That God is good. Okay, so those three things it teaches us. That that God looks at the long term. That there is hope in suffering and death. That justice will ultimately prevail. So I want to talk two things about how this should influence how we live. First thing is that we should value and go after the things that have eternal value. Jesus said this, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. The world puts a great deal of value on wealth, having money, having stuff, and in gifts and abilities. People can do things well. And there's nothing wrong with either of those. The problem is where your heart is. If you have a lot of money and your heart is really focused on that, or your life is focused on that, your heart will be there. It won't be with God. Not a lot of problem with having great abilities. And we can see that the world really values this on how the world pays somebody who can really play football well. What a premier footballer can earn is out of this world. And there's no problem with that. There's no problem with that. I'm not going to comment on the Huddersfield Town, no, or the European Super League. I don't think anybody playing for Huddersfield Town has ever earned that amount of money. It's not a problem, people earning that. It's what you do with the wealth and what it does to you that's important. And note, Marcus Rashford, I'm sure, earns a lot of money. But it's great that he's using his wealth and his fame to bring some justice for underprivileged children. It's great that he's using it that way. I heard that Gary Neville, who used to be a footballer, he used his money to buy a hotel in Manchester. So that's what you do when you have that kind of money. In the early pandemic, it was shut, and he was saying to the NH staff, if you need to stay to be isolated from your family, you can use my hotel for free. See, it doesn't matter whether you've got loads of money or little, it's what you do with it and how we value it. We shouldn't put our value in what the world puts its values in, because the system of the world is wrong. And those things they'll be gone one day. They'll be completely gone. All that wealth, all your possessions, they'll be gone. What God values is character, the inner person, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. I'm getting some self-control and one other. These are what heaven is like. This is what eternity is like. We should invest now in what's going to last. Okay? We should. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. There's in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about things that are going to pass away. Gifts. He says, if I have the ability to move mountains with my faith, if I can understand all things, if I have prophecies, if I understand everything, prophecies will fade away. They'll all be gone. What remains is faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. To grow in love is much more important than growing our bank account, because all that's going to go away. So if you have loads of money, use it for God. That's what the Bible says. Use it to bless. It's not a curse. You look at Abraham, you look at Joseph, you look at many people in the Old Testament. Look at Solomon, who God said to him, ask me anything and I will give it to you. And he asked for wisdom to rule his people. And God said, because you've asked him, ask for that and not for wealth, I'm going to give you wealth as well. That wasn't a curse. That was a blessing. Wealth is not a curse to those who have the wisdom to use it. So let's ask for wisdom. But let's put our heart on the things that will last. Faith, hope, love, joy, peace. So let's value and go after in our lives what is of eternal value. Secondly, have an eternal view, but don't just wait for it to happen. Yes, when Jesus comes, all these things will be fulfilled. The new kingdom will come in its fullness. But we're told to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What we're trying to establish on earth is what heaven will be like. We're not just supposed to wait around for it to happen. So expect the goodness of God in your lifetime. But also know, and know that if it's delayed, you trust God. And you're going to get it in this life or the next. God is faithful always. Pray for the sick. We want to bring the kingdom of God in now, because in the heaven there's no sickness. Seek justice for the oppressed, because in heaven there's justice. The new rule has justice. Develop your character. Do good. Bring in what the kingdom of God is in that perfect future. Bring it into the earth now. That's what we're here for. Otherwise, we may as well go to heaven now. That's not what it's about. As we were worshipping, I think God brought to my mind an old book, but a well-known book called Through Gates of Splendor. It's the story of a missionary called Jim Elliot, some others, and he and his friends, they went to a remote tribe in the Amazon to bring the gospel to them. And a few days after they made contact with this tribe and actually got to talk to them, they were martyred. The tribe killed them. We don't know why. But Jim Elliot had said he wants to live life full on, full intensity, fully out for God. He'd rather do that and die young than to live a long life at kind of low volume or low intensity. The Bible says of people that did not love their lives even unto death. Jim Elliot knew that he would be received by God into eternity, that there was a resurrection. Therefore, he didn't overvalue his life. That's a hard lesson. But you know what? His widow wrote the story. Thousands of people were inspired by his story and went to the mission field as a result of that. So you can't say his death was wasted. He lived with a sense of eternity in his heart and made it live, made it affect his life today. And that's what I'm trying to get, is that if you read Psalm 73, you see that if we don't have a view of God's ultimate justice, that wickedness will not prevail. The psalmist says, it's like my feet were on a slippery rock. If we want to be firm, we need to have this sense of eternity in our hearts. That Jesus is coming back one day. That should affect the way we hope and the way we live. So, in conclusion, I just want to say, I read in that verse that one day Jesus will come and he'll call those that belong to him with him, and we'll meet him in the air and we'll be with him forever. And that is offered to everyone. And it's not in that a judgment of how good or bad you've been. It's basically you have to put your faith in him, your faith in how good God is, that Jesus died on the cross to take away our sin so that we can be forgiven and live in forever. And God changes our hearts in the inside so that we live differently. I want to say, if you're watching and you've not taken the decision to follow Christ, I want to say that there is an eternity. There is a resurrection then. Your faith now affects your whole future. It will make your life on this earth better, but it will make your eternity different. So if you know that you want to follow God on this earth and forever, then you just tell him. Ask God to come into your life and he will come. Do that today. Don't wait. And I want to say for all of us, let us resist what seems to be the attitude in this world. I'm not going to judge, but it seems to be the attitude is, have it now. You can have it now. Wealth is important. What you look like is important. More important than what's on the inside. Let us resist that and let us focus on our character, our love, our joy, our peace. And let us fight for the gospel of peace, of justice in this world. Let us fight to bring the gospel to the whole world. Let us build something that we can hand to the next generation. Build something beyond our own life. And keep our eyes on the prize. I don't know what all the rewards will be in heaven. But one thing for me I really want to hear from Jesus is that, well done, good and faithful servant. And so I want in this life to do well, to serve God, to give my whole to him, because I know one day I'm going to meet him and I want to hear that, well done, good and faithful servant. So let's keep this sense that Jesus is coming, could be tomorrow, could be way ahead, but he's going to come. And there's going to be a resurrection of the dead. And there's going to be a judging of the living and the dead. And that should excite us. Because justice will come. God bless you. Amen. Have a great... Oh, I'm going to hand over to Andrew.